It is great to have you on the Family Goals Podcast with David Pollock and Pastor Jay. I'm Joel Inhouse, and on this podcast, we want to encourage you to grow closer to God, to strengthen your marriage, and to inspire your family to reach its highest potential. Today, we discuss correctly handling God's Word and what it means to be a clean vessel. Check it out.
Guys, it's tough finding wholesome shows these days for the kids. If you've been listening to the Family Goals Podcast for any amount of time, you've heard us say more is caught than taught. And that goes with how we act around our kids and especially the content we're feeding them online. That's why we want to share with you about Minnow.
Minnow Kids has tons of shows, movies, and devotionals that touch on a variety of topics to keep our kids engaged while also filling their mind with what matters the most. The 5-minute family devotionals are perfect for busy families. They are great ways to be fed spiritually while having a great time with your family.
Minnow is an incredible streaming service that filters all the bad so you don't have to. Every Minnow show has been screened by a team of parents, pastors, and educators to ensure that they're age-appropriate, entertaining, and aligned with the faith-based values that we care so much about.
All right, so if you're interested in this, head to gominnow.com/familymade to get your first month free. That's gominnow.com/familymade to get an entire month free. Start your free trial today.
I want to ask Jolan about his dating life.
Ooh.
I think he just said, oh no, why would we do that? Joe, you know, it's funny. Well, Jolan will get close to that mic, but
want to know.
Like a lot of people have been asking, about, you know, what's going on with Jolan.
I'm going to say that's a whole lot of
nothing. Yeah, get on up here. People want to hear from you. Let's go. Come on.
Nothing to report. Nothing to report. How's your disc golf game? Good.
Better than his love life.
Better than his dating life. Yeah, someone was telling me that their favorite thing about the podcast is us giving Jolan a hard time.
I like that.
And I was like, what? Like when he wears like McDonald's hoodies and like.
It was an interesting hoodie.
Yeah, sweat.
Okay. You know, every time I wear that hoodie, I get tons of compliments. So,
I mean, who wears a
Well, it's really working with your love life. So let's keep with that. Yeah. I get tons of compliments, just not from anybody that's.
When I'm at the other campuses, I was over at Monroe and Oconee yesterday. They always talk about all the crap. They're like, is Pastor Jay ever going to say anything good about you on stage?
Well, he did say something good about you in an earlier podcast. Remember, you filmed things.
Yeah.
So you're our film guy.
The only thing I'm good for is
filming things.
My camera skills.
Actually, no, you said the Trash Boy story not too long ago. That was good.
That's
that was a good one. Talk about you being a servant. He said that you're not as bad on stage as used to be.
It's true.
You're serving God since you were six years old.
Yeah,
people have said the same thing to me. Why are you always giving Jolan a hard time? Like, I'm not giving him a hard time. He's just in all my stories. He's in all my examples.
Learn from my mistakes.
That's the bottom line.
But I also talked about how Jolan has a faith of his own.
Yeah.
And that's one of the greatest.
Been leading people.
One of the greatest joys of my life is seeing Jolan serving God and us getting to do it together.
Heck yeah.
It is so much fun. I love it.
Yeah. That's a lot of positive stuff there, Jolan.
Absolutely.
So we're going to take that as a win and then disappear into the sunset.
All right.
Bye.
I'll take it.
He's my favorite son.
I like that. Nicholas is my favorite son. Yeah. Lee is my favorite daughter.
Jolan is my favorite child.
Mm.
You don't have to lie here.
Well, I hope the other ones don't listen to the podcast.
They don't listen to the podcast.
So it doesn't matter. Good to go. What you got up there?
So I want to continue on in 2 Timothy, and I want to talk today about a person that God uses. And I think as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, we want to be used by God. I mean, I think for me, my greatest fear in life is that God wouldn't use me, that my life would be wasted, that my life wouldn't have any eternal meaning or eternal significance. So I want to be someone that God uses to fulfill his purposes and to fulfill his plan.
You want to be OM, on mission?
I want to be on mission.
Yeah.
I want my life to count. And so Paul is writing to Timothy, and one of the things that jumped out to me was 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. He says, Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. I think it's so important for us as Christians, and especially as pastors and leaders and small group leaders, to correctly handle the word of truth. That I think a person God uses, they're correctly handling the truth. They're speaking the truth.
That's harder and harder nowadays too. I think those lines have become really blurred because of, there's a lot of pastors that want to be inclusive. There's a lot of pastors that don't want to bother people, that don't want to turn people off. But I think if you look in the Bible, there's a lot of things that are going to be, that are going to naturally turn people off. Like there's a lot of history. Newsflash, by the way, if you haven't read your Bible, there's a lot of really bad things in the Bible. Like there's a lot of bad things that you would not want to read about. That the things that don't, there's not a lot of, there's that whole book is not filled with feel goods.
Right.
Like there's plenty of stories in there that you can read and be like, golly, like why would that happen? What would that happen? My answer to Nicholas all the time, because he's done a good job going through it, I'm like, dude, I don't know, but there's a reason. I don't know, but there's a purpose. You know what I'm saying? Like there's a lot in there, but I will say this. I think there's been an unhinging to God's word. There's been an unhinging to what he has said in his word. There's been an unhinging to parts of the Bible that people don't like. And that's not a book that we get to pick and choose. And I know there's 39 pens, but there's one author, right? Like there's one person that wrote it. And I think understanding that, keeping that in context, understanding that there's going to be difficult things to read, understanding the history of what you're reading and the knowing, like we've talked about before, knowing the context of when it was written, why it was written, how it was written. There's just a lot in there nowadays that people don't, and pastors and public people don't want to admit and don't want to stand firm on, because it turns people away or they might get negative attention.
Mm-hmm. You can't, like Thomas Jefferson, there's this famous story, the Jefferson Bible. So Thomas Jefferson takes a razor blade and he cuts out the Bible, literally takes the Bible verses that he doesn't like and doesn't agree with and cuts them out of his Bible.
Wow.
And if you're doing that, which is what a lot of these, you know, pastors are like, if you're just avoiding controversial topics and you're only telling people what they want to hear, I mean, that's kind of like the tickling of the ears, right?
Yeah.
You're just trying to, I mean, what good is it to build a big crowd of people if they don't know the truth, if you're not speaking the, and I think if you truly love someone, you have to speak the truth in love. Like if you, you know, you have to tell them the truth, like, or you don't really love them.
So how do you do that as a pastor when you don't know them?
I think it's harder because they don't know your heart.
Yeah.
And you don't have that relationship. But I think you have to try to do the best you can of building the relationship. And I try to say things in a way that I'm speaking the truth in love, to where I don't want to come across as judgmental. I don't want to come across as condemning. But I want to come across as loving. Like the reason I'm sharing this with you is because I love you and I care for you and I want what's best for you.
Yeah, and I think it's a fine line. It's a tough line to walk. I mean, I have learned this. I have absolutely learned that in life. Like, I take a lot of pride in being the person that will say what needs to be said, not what people want to hear. I've found that I've gotten a lot more juice from the squeeze when I get to know the person first. Like when they know me and I know them, and specifically they know me and they know my heart and they know who I am and what I am, it becomes a lot more beneficial. Yeah. It comes across a lot better. When I just meet you and I see something and I start saying something to you and speaking to you, like you're like, whoa, bro, chill out. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's a tough line to probably have to toe, because I mean the bottom line is, there's truths that you need to hear. And especially, you know, you addressed it, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and there's two sexes and God made two sexes. And there's some people that don't want to hear that. I mean, and it really doesn't matter where you come from, Pastor Jay. You can come from love. You could come from hate. It really doesn't matter. They don't want to hear that, but you're coming from truth. And I think you want to be somebody that when you say something, it comes from truth. And if it comes from truth, that means I have to know the Bible. Like That means if I want to be a person that says things that are of truth and considered respected and considered appreciated and considered knowledgeable and trustworthy, like, then I have to know that book that's sitting in front of you.
Yeah.
And I gotta start there.
The authority. So as a preacher on Sunday morning, I'm not sharing my opinion. I'm sharing what God's word says. So it's not Pastor Jay's authority. It's Jesus' authority. It's the word of God. It's the Bible. So we're living our lives under the authority of God's word. And I think when someone comes to you for advice, I think it's a lot more powerful when you back up your advice with scripture. Like it said, I'm not just giving you my opinion.
No.
Here's what God's word says. Or if we're praying about something, you're not just praying about it, but you're claiming a promise. You're claiming a scripture. So you have the authority of God's word. And we believe the Bible to be God's word is inspired, from Genesis to Revelation. I like to joke around from the table of contents in the front to the maps
in the back.
We believe it. We would believe it to be all be true. And it says in 1 Timothy 4:16 to watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you'll save both yourself and your hearers. And so I want to watch my life closely. I want to watch my doctrine closely. I want to be saved, and I want my hearers to be saved. And I do think the better relationship you have with someone, the better they're going to receive it. So if you're someone who's been coming to our church for a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, however many, you know, you've heard me. This isn't the first time you hear me speak. Like, you know where I'm coming from. If you've been in discipleship with me, or you've been in a small group with me. So the guys were telling me the other night, they just hear me preaching the word. They're not taking it as judgmental because they know me and they know that I'm just sharing the truth. And just as, I'm not picking on people by picking out select passages. Like, I try to be an equal offender. Like, we're all
an equal opportunity hater. Equal, I like that.
Like we're all sinners.
Yeah.
Whether you're a homosexual or you're a hypocrite, whether you're a drunkard or you're a glutton, like it's sin is sin. If you drink too much or you eat too much, I'm not picking and choosing, but I'm not condoning sins. I think that's where with the homosexual issue or the gender fluid issue, some of those things, people want us to condone sin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay. We won't affirm you. I'm not gonna affirm a drunkard. I'm not gonna affirm a
liar.
I'm not gonna affirm a liar. Yep. I'm not gonna affirm a thief. So why would you affirm that sin?
Yep.
And so, it's not, you're speaking the truth because you want someone, and it's God's will for everyone to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Like, God wants everyone to come to him and have a relationship with him and be forgiven of their sins. And if you don't know that what you're doing is a sin, how are you going to repent of your sin and come to Christ?
I think one of the first things that stuck out of why I chose, Greystone was like the number one thing I need to hear from a pastor is that I struggle. The number one thing I want to hear from a pastor is I don't have this figured out. Like, I still have issues. I still have struggles. I'm still working through it because I don't know. I've always struggled. Like, I know you don't have it figured out. I know you're not perfect. I'm not expecting you to be perfect. Greystone. Not expecting you to be perfect, but I am expecting you to walk in humility. I am expecting you to have those qualities, those biblical characteristics that I want you to have. But I think that's really, really important is when we're saying things to people is that we understand, like, I this is not coming from a spot that I got it figured out. Mm-hmm. But I do know that this is wrong. I do know that this is right. This is wrong. And, while I might not be perfect and I might miss some of these things over here, I know this is wrong. And I know I don't want to be that and I don't want to do that, which is part of it. But I think that's an important acknowledgement when you're talking to people and when you're sharing with people.
Yeah, and every single time I bring up some of these controversial issues, I'm quick to share that I'm a sinner, that I make mistakes, that I fall short. I may not struggle. I mean, I don't struggle with homosexuality, but I struggle with lust. I don't struggle with getting drunk, but I struggle with gluttony. So I think you're not preaching to people from a It's like, I'm not on my high horse, like speaking down to you. Like, hey, I'm one of you.
Yep.
We're in this
together.
We're in this together. Then we're all trying to become who it is that God has called us to be. And the only way we're going to do that is to preach the truth and allow the Holy Spirit. One of the verses I claim every Sunday is Hebrews 4:12, which says the word of God is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. I mean, every single week when I'm preaching, if people receive it, if they have an open heart and an open mind, God's going to speak something different to every person. I had a guy come to me yesterday, and what he got out of my whole message, I did this little side tangent about Jannes and Jambres that are mentioned in 2 Timothy. Paul says that they were posers, that they weren't the real deal. But the Old Testament never mentions them. So they opposed Moses. And I was sharing with them the Jewish tradition is that Jannes and Jambres were the enchanters, the magicians, the wise men that Pharaoh had. They, when Moses and Aaron came to Pharaoh to let God's people go, Aaron throws down his staff and his staff becomes a snake. Well, these enchanters throw down their staffs and their staffs become snakes. And I just made this side mention that a lot of scholars believe that Jannes and Jambres were those wise men or those magicians. So this guy comes to me after church. That's what he heard. So that had nothing. I mean, it was just like a little side note, just trying to help people.
What did he say?
He said, well, that God used that to really speak to me. And he didn't tell me
how or why or what,
but that was the thing. And he wanted to know what verse that was. I said, it's Exodus 7, you know, verse 12. And he was going to go back. He said, but that's what God spoke to him. And that was just a little.
That was a throwaway comment for you.
Throwaway side note. You know, I just thought it might be interesting for people.
Apparently it was.
But I think if we're going to be used by God, we have to correctly handle the truth. And then in 2 Timothy, he says that we're to be a clean vessel. He says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, from sin, he'll be a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. I really believe the cleaner we are, the more God can use us.
Define cleaner.
Less sin in our lives, less junk. And I use the illustration in church of, you know, we have the china cabinet with the crystal glasses that get smudges and
Nicholas was dirt. Funny. He was like, yeah. What is that? What is china glasses? Like, yeah. Y'all don't have china. Nice stuff.
Yeah. And I talked about, I don't come in and use the crystal stemware that's dirty and smudgy and has spider webs on it. I come in and get the big gulp, the big plastic, clean. And then
problem is you probably had a Coke in that, though. That's the problem. But anyways, I digress.
Soda Palooza. Let's not go there.
Yeah, sorry.
But I think God is looking for clean vessels. I mean, people that are, he's called us to be holy. And there is, and we talked about this before, but I mean, he's the one that does the sanctifying, but we have to put ourselves in a place to be sanctified. Like we have to get in his word. We have to get in church. We have to get in prayer. We have to repent of sin. Like when we're convicted of sin. And I claim this verse every Sunday too, that I'm confess my sins every Sunday before I preach, that I would be a clean vessel, useful to the master, you know, prepared for every good.
How many verses work. Do you claim? This is a long, is this when you do your prehab or pre-routine or what? Because we're on at least three or four. I mean, do you claim like 35 verses before you go preach?
It's about 20.
Is it?
It's about 20 or so that I'm constantly like praying and claiming. And one of these, well, I'll jump to that verse later, but one of the verses I claim is, even we're unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And even though I'm sinful, even though I make mistakes, even though I'm unfaithful, God's still going to be faithful. He's still going to use me. I mean, if God can speak through a donkey, he can speak through me.
I think I would ask this question. If people were listening and they go, what do you mean clean? Like, what do you mean cleaner? Like, what do you mean more refined? Aren't we all jacked up? Aren't we all messed up? Like, what do you mean? There's levels to being cleaner. I think people would say that. What would you say to that?
I'd say two things. One is sin less. Less sin in my
Not
life.
Sinless. Sin less.
Sin less.
That's a t-shirt, maybe.
And another one is, and this is what I really teach in the guys in my discipleship group, is spiritual maturity is how quickly you confess your sin and get out of the mud puddle. And I've used the illustration within that sin is like falling in a mud puddle, and you kind of get the junk of the world on you, and you feel guilty, and you have the tendency, it's like, well, I've already sinned today. I might as well not have a quiet time, or I might as well not go to church, or might as well not go to share my faith. But I think spiritual maturity is how quickly you get out of the mud puddle, and how quickly you confess your sin, and how quickly you allow God to wash you as white as snow and get back on the right path, you know? But it's easy to, well, I've already met, it's kind of like eating.
Diet, bad. It's your diet,
eating
yep.
Bad. Like, I've already had a bag of chips today. I'd eat some cookies. Why not just go ahead and eat some cookies too? And I mean, I could
some blueberries, some chocolate-covered blueberries.
My whole Saturday routine. But I think, you know, being a clean vessel to be used by God, and then being available. I mean, that's been a big theme of
you. Gonna go back to fat
recently. Fat, yeah. Being faithful, available, and teachable. I mean, you could have all the ability in the world, but if you have no availability, and I use the example in football, like you could have a 5-star athlete, but if he doesn't have his grades up, if he's just sitting on the sidelines,
he ain't no good.
What good is he to the team? And yeah. What good are we if we have all this ability in the world, but we don't make ourselves available to be used by God?
I just think it's an interesting conversation of who has the authority to preach, who has the authority to tell people when we're all struggling, we're all going through similar type things, and we're all failing. Like, I think a lot of people, that's why I wanted you to clarify. I think a lot of people are like, wait a minute, you don't have the authority to speak to me. You know, like you don't have that authority because you do the same stuff. And when I think there is a difference when he says repent, that means to turn away from your sin. That means to give it to God. Like, if you ever have something in your life, and we talked about thorn in the flesh before too, but if you ever have something in your life that you continually mess up and you're continually doing, give it to God. Like, repent. Tell him that you want to steer clear of this. This is something that you don't want to be a part of. And I think you'll start to see the refining. You'll start to see the growth. And then you see people that are spiritually mature. I think people that are spiritually mature, there's something different about them. And there's something, I think to me, humility is always a part of it. You know, like, I think humility is a huge part of it. Like, oh, I can relatability, authenticity. Like, I can go to that guy because he can talk to me, because I can connect with him. And I think that's if you can find somebody that you respect, and you can find somebody that, you can, because there are people that live above certain things. Like, that's just there are people that don't deal, like, to me, and this might strike a nerve with some people, it might make some people a little bit upset, but like, cursing is something you control that's very easy to me. Like, and I'm not going to sit here and say I'm perfect, but like, on the football field, like, I'm going to make sure that no, I don't swear. Like, that's not something that comes out of my mouth. And I can control that. I can be above board and above reproach on a lot of topics if I continue. Now, listen, that wasn't my case growing up, bro. Like, I thought my name at one point was the F word because of my mom. Like, thank God she doesn't listen to the pod, but it's the truth. Like, we grew up in a house.
Your mom doesn't listen to the pod?
No, I don't think so. She said everything else. She said everything else, but I don't think she listens to the pod.
Sorry, Mom.
If you do, sorry, Mom. But, like, I think we start to, and when you see it in somebody, and you see somebody that struggled with something, and you watch them grow out of it, man, like, that's a powerful example for you. That's a powerful thing to watch and look and say, like, okay, that's what can happen if I repent. That's what can happen if I be intentional with my habits. I think it's a cool thing to watch. But I think there are people that struggle to take advice from people that are sinners and are struggle, or that you know that they're in a fight themselves.
When in Romans chapter 6, it talks about putting to death sin, and I think there are, as you grow spiritually, you're able to put to death certain sin to where they're not even a temptation anymore.
Yep.
And so for you, like, cussing isn't a temptation. You've put that sin to death. drunkenness. I put that sin of debt. Like, it's not even an option. It's not even anything that I think about.
Not even debatable.
It's not even debatable.
Don't even drink, so it's hard to put it. It's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to get drunk if you don't drink. That communion was loaded last week. I don't know.
That's where the
depends what percent wine that communion was.
We always get on this topic in all my men's discipleship groups about the alcohol, because I shared last Sunday that I don't drink, and I've gotten a lot of criticism over the years for that, and I don't understand why it bothers other people. If you're not watching the podcast, Polly just busted his knee on the side of the table, and he's like,
that hurt.
He's like over there.
What if I'd have dropped a word? we were just talking about putting to death things.
That would have been funny.
I'm with you, by the way, on that too.
But
with the drinking,
yes. Yeah, so
people think it's
like, why does it bother you
that I don't drink?
That I don't drink. You know what I'm saying? But I think it's interesting because some of the guys in my group, I think they're being convicted of it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe God is calling them to a higher standard.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the guys even said, well, if you or Mark's our executive pastor, if you asked me to be a leader or were challenging me or said I needed to not do it because of this, then I probably wouldn't do it.
You should have challenged him right away.
And I'm thinking, yeah, so.
Did you not challenge him right away?
Why do you need me to challenge? Maybe God's already challenging you.
Like, yeah.
Like, and that's kind of who has the authority or who has the permission to preach?
I always like to ask that question, by the way.
Yeah.
I always like to ask a question to the people that talk to me about that. I'm like, can you name something that consistently good happens out of alcohol?
I love that question because nothing good can come of it. I've seen divorce happen because of it.
Yep.
I've seen affairs happen because of it.
Deaths.
Deaths.
Yep.
Yeah. I've seen, horrible accidents. I've seen a lot of families split up because of it, like grief. I could go on and on, but. It's interesting. Then the guy said, "It wouldn't bother me if Pastor Jay was, if I walked into the Mexican restaurant and you're having a margarita, that wouldn't bother me at all." I'm like, "Really? You don't think it would? Like if someone in our
maybe
church,
deep down, you know,
I
just
mean, like one of the students from our student ministry walks in and sees Pastor Jay drinking, you don't think that would bother them?" I mean, one of the strong cases that I was making with them is I don't want to cause anyone to stumble.
Yeah,
and we have. You know, I've counseled hundreds of people in our church that they struggle with alcoholism, and we have Celebrate Recovery.
Yep.
Like, and if you've ever been in a Celebrate Recovery group, have you ever been in a small group with someone who is an alcoholic? Like, it might be okay for you, but it's not. It wouldn't be.
One drink is not okay for them.
Yeah, and we've had people come up to us just this week and say, "I'm so appreciate you and Jennifer not drinking because my husband struggles with alcohol or my wife struggles with alcohol." And, I think being a person that God uses, we want to correctly handle the word of God. We want to be a clean vessel. And I think lastly, we're available. We could have all the ability in the world, but if we're not available, then God can't use us.
Thank you again for listening to this week's Family Goals podcast with David Pollock and Pastor Jay. I don't know about you guys, but I want to be a clean vessel for God that can be used for any good work. We all sin, we all mess up, but are you living in a certain sin? Is there something in your life that you need to put to death in order to be a cleaner vessel for God? I believe that the cleaner and more available you are, the more God can use you. So check yourself. What do you need to get rid of? Are you faithful? Are you available? Are you teachable? Are you fat? F-A-T. God is looking for fat people to use to further the kingdom of God. If you found this episode helpful or encouraging or entertaining, please let us know by subscribing to the podcast or by writing a review. You can also reach us on Instagram and Twitter @Family Goals Pod. Thank you again for listening to the Family Goals Podcast, and we'll catch you next week.